Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We do our best. We try our hardest to make it make sense on this show. And every once in a while, we get close and we just need a little help from our friends. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. And we are whole again now. You saw her starring on your TV with Rachel Nichols and the rest of the crew from The Jump. Jhené, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. We had Katie George hanging out in here for a little bit with us, kind enough, while you were off, you know, doing your thing with Rachel on The Jump. We talked to Rachel early in the show. It sounded like you guys had a great time over there, you and Perk and everybody else. So we're glad you actually decided to come back over to us.
Yeah, I thought for a long time that maybe I should just, you know, dabble and maybe I should stay over there. And then I missed you. I really did miss you, genuinely. And I'm just really proud that you dressed for the occasion, knowing that it was going to be a day where I had to decide, all right, do I love Jhené and Golic Jr.? Do I like The Jump? But the shirt you're wearing is spectacular.
Yeah,
so
listen,
well done.
I had to try and bust out my absolute best to make sure that you didn't start leaving a toothbrush over at The Jump studio here, because we all know how this goes, so we don't want to see that get ugly anytime soon.
Very true, but I'm back where I belong.
Back where she belongs. We're very excited, and that's great, Jhené, because coming up in a little bit, we're going to get to plenty of stuff. More people choosing violence around quarterbacks in the NFL draft. You guys will...
We got a new mock.
We got a new mock, and we have, I think, the most predictable entry into the changing top quarterback argument here. No one will be shocked by the person that has come out and chosen violence again. We'll also talk to Diana Rossini a little bit about all of this great stuff, our ESPN NFL insider. But Jhené, I feel like now is about the time. Steph Curry, big night, becomes the all-time leading scorer in Golden State history, passes Wilt Chamberlain, and then we realize, and look at the standings, that he's doing all that for a team that can hopefully get into the bubble conversation here. Like, it feels like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we spent so much time focusing on what's going to happen with the Brooklyn Nets, what's going to happen with the Lakers when they get Anthony Davis and LeBron back here. We haven't focused on this fun thing that we get now outside of the bubble, which is another bubble. We get bubble watch of the teams around the play-in tournament in the NBA that everyone's been... Have you been shocked to see Luka and these teams so mad about having to play in this potential play-in tournament?
Oh, yeah, and I didn't understand it. For anyone who still has questions, like, it's about the teams with the 7th best to 11th best record. If you go and read the definition of what the play-in tournament is, you're going to be confused. But actually, like, just think about it. It's literally seeding. And so if you finish with the 7th best and then you also are the 11th, you're seeded, and that's how you determine who plays and moves on into the playoffs. It's really nuts. It's crazy, but it's going to be great basketball.
It is going to be great basketball, and I think that's what, you know, the players, I can understand the gripe there because it's more games, it's certainly having to play longer, harder, all these different things. But what we saw in the tournament was awesome when we were in the NBA bubble last year, and so we want to get everyone caught up on the people and the things that are going to affect the bubble most, because we've got more teams, more fan bases involved in all this. And so right as Jhené comes storming back off The Jump, we are going to put her to work in Jhené's bubble watch and get you ready for the top five things you need to know and pay attention to as we get close to this bubble. Jake, can we get some music, please?
Oh, bubble. Oh, that's how we feeling.
That's how we're major laser living out here right now. Jhené, how are we feeling here? How we
all
feeling?
Right, here we go. When we talk about the NBA teams in the bubble, we're not talking about the top of the top, because those guys have worked their hardest. Brooklyn, the 76ers, Milwaukee, LA, Clippers, obviously Phoenix, Utah. Like, they're certified. Everyone in the mix in the gutter are really on the bubble. So here we go. Number five. All right, at number five, you guys, the Knicks might actually make the playoffs.
Woo.
Like, celebrate this. The Knicks might actually make the playoffs. Now, it's looking a little precarious because earlier they were higher up in the standings in the East, but right now they're in the 8th spot. But the good news is that they have 3 more wins than the Pacers, but they have the same amount of losses. So they just have to keep winning, knowing that they have a nice little cushion there. But I love what the Knicks are doing. I mean, they got Coach Thibodeau in there. You know he's going to bring the defense. The team is playing hard. You've got veteran leadership in Derrick Rose. But the real answers have been the development of stars. And a lot of people have questioned whether Coach Tibbs could really develop in a way that he was challenged, you know, when he had opportunities elsewhere. Well, how have we seen the development? Julius Randle, an all-star, highest points per game, I believe 22 points per game, also upped his passing and highest 3-point shooting percentage. R.J. Barrett, a man that shot 30% from three at Duke, now shooting 38% as a pro, you know, a couple of years in, which shows you the development of the players. And they both sort of do their thing. They're excellent at attacking and driving, and that's the perfect modern age NBA player. So the Knicks, enjoy it now. Hopefully things won't go wrong, but Knicks might actually make the playoffs. Number four.
Number four.
Okay, so one of my favorite titles, Junior, is point forward or point center, point guard, right? Zion has been amazing, especially with the situation he's been presented with. Lonzo Ball out a few games, you know, due to injury. And so they're like, why don't we just give the ball to Zion if you're the Pelicans? And it has worked. I mean, a lot of people sort of knew that this guy was talented and super athletic, a freak when it comes to dunking. But I think he's so great at that athleticism that we sort of don't talk about everything else. Excellent ball handler for his size and explosion, you know, especially in open court. Also an underrated passer. And in the two games without Lonzo Ball as of late, where they've gotten three wins straight, I mean, 37 points per game, 38 points per game. And so I think they found another answer, another reason that, hey, all right, if Lonzo's shooting the ball really well, Brandon Ingram is a reliable, consistent scorer, Zion, the point guard, he's capable of holding things down. This is a team that can really be poised to make a push. But they are four games right now back of eight, but they have won three in a row. Let's go to number three, speaking of it.
Number three.
Shanae Angola Jr. here, and I'm giving you guys my NBA teams on the bubble. And, I mean, we've got to celebrate the Celtics because they're finally on a winning streak. It's really surprising to see a team that has been in the Eastern Conference Finals, Junior, you know, now sort of struggle this year. They're seventh in the East, but they have a three-game win streak, and they've done it in a way that's actually surprising through their defense. They won, I believe, the Nuggets game on a stretch where they did a 40-8 run. They scored 40 points, and the Nuggets only were able to get eight. And they clamped down on defense. And I think that's a smart tactic, especially in the East, when you're dealing with Milwaukee's, you're dealing with Brooklyn's, you're dealing with the explosion of offenses. If the Celtics are like, all right, it's going to be hard to keep up with this firepower, let's dig down and do it and switch defensively. It's been an easier way for them to get offense by getting deflections and stops. Our favorite number.
Number two.
Please put some respect on Steph Curry's name. Put some respect on Steph Curry's name. I know we talk about Steph and everyone's like, well, is he good to, you know, lead a team by himself? Forget all of that. This man, as you mentioned, Junior, just passed Wilt Chamberlain for franchise leader for the Golden State Warriors, which big flex, just dropped 53. But this is a guy that clearly has, I think now we're starting to see he's trying to make lemonade out of lemons where it's almost impossible now. You know, James Wiseman.
He's trying to make lemonade out of rocks right now. This right? Man is doing whatever he possibly can for this team.
I think at least he knows now, like, shoot, I don't even have to think about Clay, KD, Draymond. I'm going to just shoot that thing. And it's been working. 53 points. I think he was like 10 for 18 from three. It was something absurd. But Steph Curry, put some respect on his name. He's trying to hold down the entire Warriors. And the cool thing is that they're only three games back of the eight spot. There's room to make a push, but, you know, without James Wiseman due to the meniscus and, you know, still lacking a number of key players, it's going to be hard. But number one on Bubble Watch, which really is sad. And we take a moment. But here we go. Number one.
Number one.
I know you probably talked to Rachel Nichols and a number of others about this, but it's really a downer that Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets, we have to put them on bubble watch. Even though they have the presumptive potential MVP candidate in Nikola Jokic, who's having an amazing year, that's largely because, you know, he had guys to pass to, guys that can really finish, guys that can, they can, you know, ping pong the ball. And Jamal Murray was one of those guys, you know, down with an ACL injury. Denver right now fourth in the standings. They made all the right decisions to put themselves in contention, but it now seems like this injury can potentially put them on the bubble. I mean, I love Aaron Gordon. I love how we're getting so many different contributions on their team and obviously an MVP candidate, a stretch mark five. But realistically, Jamal Murray, that injury is significant, and it really feels like, dang, in a year where any team could have really made a mark based on the health of stars like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, James Harden, you name it, right? Even Joel Embiid. This team just got their injury notice, and it really, really stinks because this is someone who has a lot of promise in the league. So the teams on the bubble that I'm actually like, I'm loving the Knicks. I'm loving the Pelicans. The Celtics, thank you for finally winning. Steph Curry and the Warriors, that's fun, but it's really tough. Tough day for number one overall, the Denver Nuggets. How about that?
It is brutal, Chiney, to think about that because we talked about the bubble that we're excited about, the play-in tournament. tournament that was such a big part of last year's NBA bubble run. But Jamal Murray, I mean, the battles that he had throughout that, when you think about him, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, the stars, the next generation of young stars that we saw really take center stage in the bubble, it's a damn shame that we're now going to have an NBA playoff without Jamal Murray, and we'll see if it's without even the Denver Nuggets, the way that this trends towards the end of the season. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com, at Chiney, and at Mike Golic Jr. is where you can get at us on Twitter. But coming up next, Chiney, I have seen a lot of conversation on the timeline today about White Claw, upgraded formula, more alcohol heading into the summer. It's caused people to utter the name Four Loko, which is sacred around these parts for a number of reasons. So coming up next, I am going to tell you which quarterback in the NFL draft is White Claw and which one is the Four Loko people are forgetting about. We'll give you that next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
That's your best tease ever.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agumake. Chiney, every once in a while, you know this, I get wildly distracted by the things that go on in Twitter in a given day.
Oh, yeah.
And just looking at what's – do you ever, like, catch yourself looking at what's trending over on the side? Like, this morning, I saw Mel Kiper trending right above Thomas Jefferson, and I had questions. Like, I shouldn't be shocked at this point,
he kind of looks like one of those, like, old-school portraits of our presidents.
That is,
you know?
Like, honestly, that is true. Would Mel Kiper fit in on Mount Rushmore? Like I think you could put him in on there, right?
If you painted a picture of him and aged the picture, you can say that's a president, former president.
He's got, like, that old-school presidential hair. Like, Mel, he needs to be, like, Mel Van Kiper. He needs, like, a van in the middle of his name
that
for
sense.
That hairstyle.
Like, the eighth president ever in the history of our country or something.
Mel would fit very well in there. So, you're right. Like, you see those things, and your mind starts to wander in this spot.
Gosh, you're wild.
Chiney, well, this is where it got wild. So, did you see today on the timeline, I saw an evolution. So, White Claw was trending. They came out. They apparently upped the alcohol by volume content of White Claw heading into the summer around here. They know people are getting vaxxed up and ready to go, and so they chose violence on that spot. But today, the thing that I couldn't stop and I couldn't stand for was this. People starting to say, oh, we're just making Four Loko again, huh? Now, Chiney, you're a few years younger than me here. Did you live through the Four Loko phase in college? Was that a part of your life at all?
No, I was trying to be great, so I skipped the Four Lokos.
Wow, all right. You know what? Fair enough. Point taken, and honestly, kids, stay away from Four Lokos and you can end up like Chiney, because I can assure you, this is why I don't like people bringing it up in the same breath of what's going on right now, because the original recipe Four Loko, Chiney, we were talking about a big, like, double tall boy can that was 12% alcohol by volume. We should not have been allowed to drink that. That seemed wildly irresponsible, Chiney. And so in light of that, I have a comparison if you want it, because we've seen Mac Jones' name in the news again. Mel Kiper Jr. came out with his mock draft 4.0. It's got trades. It's got a second round in all of this here. And we saw some pretty big moves being made. But one, again, is we have Trevor Lawrence going on overall. We have Zach Wilson going 2 overall. And Mac Jones, he has going 3rd overall to the 49ers, Chiney. We have seen this now multiple times in here. And it feels like we are forgetting. Like, everyone is treating Mac Jones like he is new recipe White Claw right now and forgetting that Justin Fields has been the Four Loko that's been there for us all along. Does this make any sense to you at all? Do I need to explain more?
It makes sense, but I want you to explain more, just for the culture.
So this is what I want to point out here, is that White Claw, delicious. Like, any of these spiked seltzers, they've been delicious. They're a great addition to your time period here. It's not saying they're not great. And in the right summer setting, they can't perform well in these spots. But what we're forgetting is the other addition to alcohol in the can for Four Loko was like enough caffeine to take down a horse in that spot. It can do more than one thing for you. And that's what I feel like we keep forgetting with Justin Fields. Like, this was a guy with a skill set that didn't even get fully tapped into in college the way we wanted to in his ability to use his legs. He was a pocket passer by and large in college, but he's got the ability to make guys miss. He's got the ability to do more, and he's got it in droves. droves, Chinee, and that's why I feel like this is the app comparison where people are forgetting the thing that's been there. Justin Fields has been there all along. We are discovering Mac Jones. We are discovering Zach Wilson right now. We need to put some respect on the thing that has been there holding it down for the longest.
So if we're doing comparisons, this is my version. If yours is White Claw, Four Loko, mine is going to be who? Mac Jones. Who? Mac Jones, because back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all up on me. Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all up on me. That's that third pick. I feel like mine's better.
I feel like yours is better, Chinee. But, and you know what? It's a good point. Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinee Agwumike is... This was also much more of the norm. Like what we're seeing at Alabama right now, where we went very rapidly from Jalen Hurts to Tua Tagovailoa to Mac Jones after that horrific injury, and then him starting a year later. And we get these limited sample sizes, especially for a guy like Mac Jones. Like, this used to be the norm. Think of the early 2000s USC teams, where those quarterbacks would sit behind another number one overall pick for three years, start for 1 year, and then go and play in the NFL. We can debate the level of success they had there, but that used to be the norm in that spot, Chinee. Mac Jones was always mocked as like a mid-round quarterback. He was always, a mid-first round quarterback. We expected him to be very good, but to your point, and I brought this up with Katie George, he got that Kyle Shanahan Bridgerton effect where they saw him around what everyone thought was the hottest guy at the party, and now they're looking at Mac Jones saying, all right, maybe there's something we missed. Maybe we need to reach up for this and have a different conversation about him.
Are you telling me that Mac Jones is Reggae Jean Page is the Duke?
No. I'm telling you that Kyle Shanahan is Reggae Jean Page as the Duke in this one. I'm telling you that Mac Jones is trying to find and up his stock around the kingdom in the way that people look at him. And being next to Kyle Shanahan sure as hell seems to have worked out very well for him.
Yeah, I think he's more like Anthony, you know, the sister's brother that is like trying to level up as we're going to see this coming season.
This is the deep. If you were looking for deep cut analogies, you have come to the right place because in this latest mock draft, we have had plenty of teams, including Mac Jones, making moves.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
Junior, can I say this?
Yes.
You know, obviously, I've been playing off of Mike Jones, but on our first take, her takeover, Charlie Arnold did dub, because she loves McDonald's, that, you know, Mac Jones' nickname should be Big Mac Jones.
Like, that is true. Listen, I appreciate we're a body positive show around here. Mac Jones reminding everyone, you don't have to be the perfect physical specimen to play quarterback at a very high level. He's going to make someone very happy in these spots. I just feel like we are overweighting the things that Kyle Shanahan loves in this spot. And when you are picking a quarterback in the first round, you are picking a quarterback that's going to be able to do more than just what's asked, that's going to be able to erase some mistakes in the way that I think a lot of these quarterbacks can, and I think Mac Jones, least of that group.
And if you're trying
spot.
To have a boy summer, it's like White Claw, Four Loko, you know how, you know. You know, sometimes it's so simple.
If you're looking to really get after it, you know where to go in this situation. But coming up next, we know where to go when we need answers to important questions like, what should Atlanta do with that fourth overall pick? Mel Kiper Jr. had some ideas. We will talk to Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL reporter, next on her ideas there and some beef with the neighbors. We'll do that after this word from Indeed.
Connoisseur of case management or guru of global sales, whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post in Indeed's Instant Match, searches millions of resumes in their database, and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. Make sure you can add and check out the Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that go beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all of the other job sites combined together. That's crazy, according to Talent Nest. Make sure you visit Indeed.com/credit. Now, with a new mock draft out, and you know I love them things now, you know there is more quarterback talk, especially in the mix with the Atlanta Falcons at 4. Let's chat about that with our insider. That's next on Chinee Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golick Jr., the podcast.
The Atlanta Falcons have hung a sign on their door, and it says, open for business.
At 4, if the Falcons like one of these guys enough, I think you've got to take them.
If you don't decide to give Arthur Smith his quarterback of the future, so this is one of those decisions that can really, you know, either make a career or break a career.
Make or break for the Atlanta Falcons. Big decisions at 4 in the draft. We've seen what Mel Kiper thinks might happen in his mock draft 4.0. Well, let's get another expert opinion here. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we get to head to the Goodyear hotline now to talk to our friend, ESPN NFL insider and reporter Diana Russini, joining us on the Goodyear hotline. And before we do get to that, Diana, we had so much discussion yesterday about Julian Edelman retiring. It immediately devolved into the is he a Hall of Famer conversation, which is wild and a little bit premature. But I just want to ask you, as someone who's covered so many different players around the league for so long, what's your lasting impression of Julian Edelman and what he did as a Patriot?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked me, because Julian Edelman is one of my favorite players to cover over the years. I'll start with just off the field how he is. Just, he's got so much edge to him, and he walks around like he's got the biggest chip on his shoulder. But he's just such a pro when he deals with the media, and I always appreciated that. And he was one of the hardest working Patriots I'd ever been around. Anytime I was at practice, even warm-ups, Mike, like this guy, I'm sure you guys have seen the video of him during the pregame. He is, you know, he sticks with what he does with this routine, and it's intense. But Julian, to me, my takeaway from him is just a player in general will always be his loyalty to that team and his players, and having a relationship over the last 5-6 years, you know, as a reporter, he was so loyal to that organization, and, you know, stuff that even involved him that made him look bad, things I had a report on, and I would, you know, give him a call to let him know I was doing it, or at least give him a heads up. And he just never wanted to make it about him, even when he had opportunity to clear the air on something or give me something that could just make Julian Edelman look good and perhaps make the Patriots look bad. He just never took the bait on it. And I'll never forget that. And what's interesting about it is, you know, you always want to get inside information and you want to get details that no one else has. But in the moment, just as a human being, sometimes you do question people that give you stuff. But I always knew no matter what, Julian Edelman was giving you nothing. And he was all about the New England way, which, you know, he obviously is going to go down in history as one of the greatest Patriots.
That is so wholesome. Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us on Chinay and Golic Jr. Compared to what that instantly was, the Hall of Famer back and forth, I appreciate your energy, Diana. And, you know,
I like that conversation this time of year, because the draft conversation, I think, is making people bang their heads to the wall at this point, because we pretty much have gone over every scenario. You know, it's interesting. I had a team, not New England, tell me about 3 months ago, like, look for Edelman to get cut this year. I was like, what? So that was on my radar. So I actually wasn't that surprised yesterday. I was more surprised he retired. Like, that really blew my mind. And you know, reaching out to people close to him yesterday to get some thoughts and response on it. This is it. This isn't like a trick. From what I learned, this isn't a trick move to get down to Florida to play with Tom or perhaps play on another team. I was told his feeling is he doesn't want to put any bad tape out there anymore. It's all about finishing on a high note.
And it's really tough because you want people to finish on their own terms, and it's just tough when athletes realize their body can't go even though they still have the mentality and spirit. And Diana, yeah. I want you to put on your helmet so you can bang your head against the wall when I ask you this. clearly there is a new mock draft out, and there's like a tension at a specific spot in this new mock draft with the 4th pick in the Atlanta Falcons. Now the mock says, and this is Mel Kiper, Miami moves up to get Kyle Pitts at 4 while Atlanta goes down to 6 to get Trey Lance. What do you think of that conversation point, what the Falcons do with that 4th pick overall, or even just who they target and getting?
Yeah, I just think it's so interesting. A month ago, the team that was going to be the most interesting, in my opinion, with the New York Jets. I'm like, oh, what are they going to do? They keeping Sam? You know, if they keep Sam, who are they going for? So the fact that now here we are 3 weeks out or 2.5 weeks out, and the Falcons are the domino. They're the start of all of this, because we kind of pretty much know we're going quarterback at the top three here. So fortunately for draft week, I'll be covering the Falcons. So I'm excited to be part of all of this. And yeah, so I've been starting, you know, making a lot of calls on them, trying to get a sense. And, you know, their GM, Terry Fontenot, and head coach Arthur Smith, we know that this is their first time together coming up with their first draft and knowing both of them for years when they were with separate teams, obviously Arthur with Tennessee and Terry with the Saints, you know, it's interesting how they apply so much of what they learned and what they know from their organizations to what they're doing now. I hear it in their press conferences. I'm like, sometimes when I hear Arthur talk, I'm like, is this Mike Vrabel? You know, but it, and it makes a lot of sense, and I apply it when I'm talking to them about the draft and what they're looking for. So with that, the sense I'm getting is they are looking at quarterback. They definitely are looking at quarterback, but it's one of those, if the quarterback that they want, which I haven't been able to find out who it is exactly, if he's not there, they're going to be open to trading. So when you think quarterback and you think what Arthur Smith likes and the type of quarterback he wants and who he's had success with, it's obviously Ryan Tannehill. And when you look at these quarterbacks, there's a bunch of them that can check the boxes of Ryan Tannehill, or at least a type of athlete like him with the accuracy that Ryan has. But Trey Lance is the one that stands out to me. They didn't tell me this, but that's the one I'm seeing here that goes, well, this would line up perfectly. And I just want to add one more thing with the Kyle Pitts thing. I wouldn't take that off the table either, because you look at their offense, you got Julio Jones. They're going to owe him a lot of money. He's getting older. And while Pitts is a tight end, and obviously Julio is a receiver and they're playing different positions, you know, one of the things that Pitts is incredible at is playing receiver as a pass catcher. It's what he's probably his best trait is. So I think that's something else you have to consider too. So I think we're going to learn more as we get closer, but I feel pretty comfortable knowing that they are certainly interested in going quarterback. Heck, they've attended every single quarterback workout.
Diana Rossini joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Atlanta is where the party starts. There's no doubt about it. It has moved from New York down to Atlanta, which anyone who saw that around NBA All-Star Weekend is not surprised that party and Atlanta are in the same sentence here. But Diana, before we get to the draft and your coverage there, we've got some time to go with that. You and I were talking before here. You got a problem on the home front here with some neighbors. So walk me through what we're dealing with right now, because we want to try our best to help you.
I would love if the listeners could tweet at me. It's at Diana ESPN with some like Dear Abby advice here. So my husband and I moved into a great new apartment, and we love everything about it, except our neighbors upstairs, I guess we could call them neighbors, they must have a very athletic, strong, I'll even call the little boy an offensive lineman, child that loves to run all morning and all night. And it is startling, and it is so loud, the thumping, that even when I was on NFL Live today, the producer was like, what is that noise? I'm like, you know, it's Bobby upstairs. I don't know who he is, but he's very big, and he makes a lot of noise. So I don't know what to do, because if it's a little kid, you know, it's like, what's he going to do? What am I going to tell him to do? Stop running? But at the same time, I can't live like this. I just moved into this place. So do you guys have any suggestions of what the appropriate thing to do is?
So, Diana, I would start with this. Have you gone up and introduced yourself to these people yet? Like, you haven't had any sort of interaction with them directly other than assuming this is a small child?
What? Who talks to their neighbors? No. Listen, I have not introduced myself.
You can write a letter.
Diana, listen, I will say this. As someone who is very anti-talking to their neighbors, I barely ever do this ever, and I live in a much more like suburban residential spot on this. I would say this, though. If you're trying to get something out of this, you and I both know Stu Gotts, and I feel like you're trying to get to something out of this spot. And so maybe if you pop up there and say, hey, I'm just going around the building, introducing myself to people. I want to maybe you drop off some sort of baked goods, some bagels, something like that, and say, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm your neighbor downstairs. You establish contact, and Diana, you establish dominance at that point in time and make sure they know exactly
they
where you live.
No. What if they don't know little Bobby is so loud? What if, you know, so that was a waste of a trip. And then I'm going to look mean because I introduced myself, and then I'm going to complain. I wanted to be very passive aggressive, and I wanted to go to the leasing office and say, whoever lives upstairs needs to go.
That is a much better idea. That is absolutely the way to go on this. But
do it, Diana.
Listen, we want feedback on this. At Diana ESPN on Twitter. Let Diana know how she needs to deal with these neighbors right now. We need to crowdsource
this.
That's
a boss move. The leasing office is a boss move. Do it.
My other idea is there's like a ladder right by the front door that I use. I'm going to climb the ladder and just bang back. Like, yeah, just kind of make it a war. Like, you want it? You want to be loud? I can be loud. Please, you guys, both of you know how loud I can be. I'll be real loud.
Yeah, in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., just start having a dance party.
Yep.
That's there. It.
I feel
very
like
cool. I love, well, maybe I'll have a little housewarming party and invite you guys, and you guys can help me with this.
I was going to say, if you need two people to make noise, we are happy to help on this instance. Tweeter, follower, at Diana ESPN. Help her out with the neighbor situation, and she'll get you ready for the upcoming NFL draft as we all take off our helmets and get ready to run full speed through this draft wall. Diana, you are the best. We will talk to you soon, my friend, okay?
Thanks, Dee.
All right, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate the help.
Trying to help as best we can. Diana, our ESPN NFL host and reporter. Just trying to figure out, Janae, we all deal with this in some way, shape, or form. Like, you're in a building. I imagine you've got some troubled neighbors at certain times.
Yeah, mine is not kids. It's, like, dogs. I've started to realize, like, there's a couple of dogs that are above me, and I'm just like, but they're not too bad, like, only once in a while. I can only imagine a human being that you have to, like, challenge.
Yeah, well, it's harder when it's a kid. Well, coming up next, we'll continue to try and figure out how you deal with this, because I feel like this is, like, what we deal with on planes and a bunch of different spots.
I'm a psycho.
Kids are always a very different factor in all this. We'll be very curious to hear that from Chiney. But also, coming up next, we have also seen complaints from star NBA players and one key owner. We'll tell you what the issue is next here on Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agumake. We'll get to a familiar name in quarterback circles. Saying the thing, choosing violence, looking at the top of the NFL draft and saying, nah, I'm good. I'm here to muck up the party a little bit, Chiney. This is the one thing that you'll also learn, Chiney, because we've talked about your love for mock drafts, is you'll start to recognize the players in certain spots, the people, our draft analysts all over the place who do a great job, but who also, you know exactly where certain content is going to come from.
Oh, absolutely, and I am falling for it each and every time. Like, I am the bait. I see the new mock, and I just go in there into the deep end, and I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is perfect. Violence. Craziness. Yes.
Always looking
for
violence.
Need a helmet, like Diana. Need a helmet.
Yes. Our thanks to Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL insider, who told us that everyone's banging their head against the wall right now for the draft. But, Janae, that also seems like what's going on in the NBA right now. This from Luka Doncic the other night, Dallas Mavericks star, talking about the play-in tournament at the end of the season and making his feelings very well known.
Obviously, we're trying to get a sixth seed. I understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we're just trying here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
Janae, him and Mark Cuban, their owner, both making their complaints known about this. Do you think there's any sort of logic behind that? Are you buying what they're selling?
Absolutely, because right now the Dallas Mavericks are seventh in the West, 24 losses. The sixth spot he's talking about is 22 Portland Trailblazers, and it's not easy to make up ground. And if you're at the seventh spot, this is the difference here. Six total games involving eight teams as a part of the play-in tournament, split between obviously the two conferences. Any team that finishes 1 through 6, and that's why Luka says I'm trying to get to the sixth spot, any team that finishes 1 through 6, safe, guaranteed playoff spots. While teams 7 through 10 in the standings will enter the play-in, that's that playoff tournament. And so it's going to be really hard for a team that's in the seventh position knowing that they were 1 or 2 losses removed from just being secured and not having to play those extra games. So I'd be mad too, but you got to give the people what they want, and that play-in delivered so much in the bubble that we're going to, of course, keep it coming.
That's what I always come back to this, Janae, and you heard me all college football season barking about this, that anyone who was clamoring for college football playoff expansion, you weren't getting a truer champion. Cincinnati's not all of a sudden going to start upsetting Alabama and giving you some group of five champion, but what you're going to get is more people involved. More entertainment as an entertainment product, and that's all this is, Janae. People liked it so much in the bubble, they said, sounds nice, make it twice, and we'll add it to the end of this regular season now on the outside of the bubble here. So yeah, players are going to get mad because they got to play harder for longer, but at the end of the day, it's not about them in this spot. I think that's been made abundantly clear because this has worked for the NBA. It's worked like it's going out of style.
And I'm just going to say this here, and I'm going to whisper in your ear that we started in the WNBA. I had to play like 2 or 3 elimination, single game elimination tournaments single elimination games to get into the playoffs where we had series, best of 3 and best of 5. So my first few years in the playoffs, yeah, single elimination. We just get with it.
as usual, we are all following the lead of the W, which, by the way, coming up here in the next hour, we can get into a big day for the WNBA, the schedule release, which means we are plotting Shanae Agumake's triumphant return to Connecticut. Revenge games out in style. We will get to
all of that and
the quarterback voice entering the chat and choosing violence at the top of the draft next here on ESPN
Go
Radio.
Sparks!
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.